end of that, Damien offers to give him his expensive school supplies, and everyone gives him something, and Anya, she's like, Anya will give you this leaf she found on the side of the road.
Anya gave no fucks.
She did.
I love... And I love... Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Synergies, the shop. I am your host, Sinji. With me, as always, my co-host, Herbay.
What up?
What's up, Herbie? Guess what episode this is, bud?
89.
You know what that means?
No.
Next episode. It's you, me, Infamous, and our anime continued. Where Herbie tries to kill me for being disobedient.
Nah, it wasn't disobedience. It was because you wanted to do unsanctimonious killing for no reason.
Nah, dog. If people deserve to die, they deserve to die.
Oh boy, here I go killing again.
Yeah, that's what you're going to say when you kill me.
No. I don't kill. I just be chilling.
But we're not there yet. We're on episode 89, baby. And kicking it off with a flavor of the week. RB, do you have one?
I have multiple, but I like to just say what I like when we go over it. But yeah, the one that the one that killed me this week.
Spy.
Spy, yeah.
Yeah, Spy had a number of good moments.
That one killed me when the homie George was leaving school and everyone's giving a gift.
Anya gave him a leaf.
Yeah, it says, Anya will give you this leaf I found on the side of the road. I was like, damn, Anya. that floored me a little bit. I like that. It was a funny moment.
The whole episode, the whole time he was having his moment, I was like, he's definitely going to be in school tomorrow.
Yeah, I was thinking myself, I was like, well, he got bought out, but doesn't mean he won't have no money to go there. So I'm like,
yeah.
But that goes to show you, like, what you're dealing with kids. Because kids, their brains aren't that complex yet to think something like that. But yeah, I'm getting into that more later.
Oh, shit. I wrote, one of the things I wrote in my notes is in the wrong area. I wrote something for Spy under the Sacred Blacksmith. But anyway, my flavor of the week is coming out of Chojin for once. And it's at the very end of the latest chapter, Ellie sucking up Smokey. I was like, damn, bro, she really just sucked him up.
Yeah, she did. I was like, oh, I mean, it makes sense because it's one and the same. I forgot, wasn't it like a, it reminds me of like a Yu Yu Hakusho moment when, you probably never watch this, but for our valued listener out there, you probably know I'd be going, talking about when Genkai had to give part of her power to Yu Yu in order for him actually to achieve a higher level, but he didn't like realize it at the time. But, yeah, so I guess I think her bringing him into her element that she'll get stronger and then she'll have some different abilities, too, going forward.
Maybe she'll be able to withstand the high heat.
Probably, or she might be able to create heat in general now. I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe she'll forever be traumatized by, like, the dude's voice within her.
Yeah, but I definitely think she's going to be able to use her powers and his powers a little bit better. So.
They didn't have to show her nipples, though.
They didn't.
They did.
I didn't see them things.
Nah, they were there.
Nah, I was just too busy reading the words. I was like, oh, let me just go on about my business.
Yeah, Tokyo meant what he said. Her boobs are showing. Granted, he also, remember he said there wasn't much there to remember.
Yeah, he did. My boy. Tokyo. Yeah, segue into Chojin now. Review it for the peoples.
Tokyo, you know, we left off and he turned into a bird. No, he grew the wings. And he kept saying, we have to fly higher, have to fly higher. Vultures fly the highest out of any bird, which I didn't really know that. I don't know if it's true. I didn't fact check it, but I was like, it's an interesting tidbit if it's true. Vultures fly higher to any bird.
I think we did look it up a while ago, and I think it was one of them. One of the highest flying birds.
Gotcha. And then he finally caught up to Smokey and headbutted him. So he didn't, and the process rescuing Ellie, that's when they had the whole boob thing. Ellie, I can see your boob, and like you saw her little nipple and her.
You really are harking on her little nipples, huh?
Well, no, nipple, no S. You can only see one boob.
That's what I said, little nip.
Mm-hmm. And she covers up after she punches Tokyo on the head. And Ellie has a new dream. And it was everything it was before, to get rich, blah, 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 find a hubby. But it's also to share food with her hubby and Tokyo. So she can't let Tokyo die, and she can't die. Her and Smokey go at it one more round, and Ellie refuses to die and sucks him up.
Yeah. And you don't stop. Because it's 1-8. Yep. A good episode. I did enjoy it. I'm like, oh, finally got some new powers. Something different in this thing.
Yeah. All right, following the current pattern, you want to talk about Jujutsu?
Yeah, not much there. So, homie, they pull a... I forget which another anime did this, where they're like, go. And they just, like, gave him some strength psychologically to get better. And so he gets a boost from his brothers, and then my man uses... a Gum Gum Bloodhawk to grab Ghetto. And I was like, oh, that's a nice new move. And he proceeds to get beat up with some other stuff. And then homegirl shows up to help. She's like, you did good, kid.
It's like, I'm the only child, but you did good, brother. Big bro. Yeah. Whatever.
So I was like, It's like, dang. It's like, well then. Not a bad one. The little gum Bloodhawk was an interesting touch.
Yeah,
I figured you'd get a little laugh out of that one.
I was like, oh, that's new. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Gum Bloodhawk.
Although it's not gum anymore.
Yeah. I ain't watched it in a while, so I don't know.
It's Nika.
Just because he had a different fruit, huh?
He had a different fruit all along.
So is he screaming that out when he does his little punch now, or no?
Nah, I think they've been stopped doing the, Well, not really. I don't know. I don't think Luffy actually knows the true name of his fruit. Yeah. So, shit, I don't know if I want to talk about the blacksmith or Peach Boy. You pick one, I'll talk about whichever one you pick.
Let's just continue with the smuttiness and go with blacksmith.
Hey, man. Blacksmith and the Sacred Blacksmith and Chojin had the same kind of smut. One panel, one scene, straight titties.
And that's all on your brain.
No censorship, just straight tit and nips. Which, the blacksmith one, I don't really get why they threw that scene in there, because it's not like it actually happened. It was just smut for smut.
Yeah.
But, The Sacred Blacksmith, episode 1, Night. We start off the episode with an ice devil showing up and challenging our distinguished knight, Cicely Campbell, from the Campbell family. And she's trying to fight this ice devil, but she stood no chance up against it, as we saw in the first few scenes. And then she gets saved by someone she calls Luke, who apparently saves her for the third time. Which later on we learn is the third time within 24 hours. I feel like a day hasn't passed at all since she met Luke.
That's what I feel like.
Yeah, so she literally got saved three times by this one man. But anyways, after that scene, we're with Cicely, and she comes across this dude trying to kind of force his way to get a good deal on some sand metal shit. It seems like a crafting item, because Luke used it later on to like make his katana. But Cicely shows up to put an end to the man's hassling. It was like, you know you're not supposed haggling. To do that here. Nah, he wasn't haggling, bro.
Yeah. Aggressive haggling.
Sure, we can call it that. And then chased him away, said you'll regret it, blah, blah, blah. And had a moment where the whole town was making her blush, and then this old dude made this creepy comment, stared at her chest. It's separated kind of weird due to her chest plate armor.
And yeah.
Dude's wife socked him in the head. I'm like, stop. Where are your eyes leering?
Yeah, I thought it was weird, too, because he's like, yeah, I remember when you were so small, and now you just grown so big. And I'm like, bro, stop. That's terrible.
I guess the past meant nothing to him.
It sure didn't. That was like your little kid running around.
Yeah, she could have been like a grandchild.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, guy.
Yeah, it was bad. But
it was a little weird. Yeah.
During that, there's a commotion at another stand. This old dude is going berserk, and I'm just going to call him Berserker because he seemed like he was just going crazy. And Cicely wants to stop him, but she's not really being very aggressive. So, like, she keeps giving him chances to stop until she has to finally try to fight him, but, like, he knocks her down pretty easily. And she gets back up and tries to, like, withstand as much as she could, but couldn't withstand it, and he ends up breaking her sword. Right as she's about to cut him down, boom, Luke shows up and slices through his sword like butter.
Butter.
Yeah, it was a cool little animation, but then he runs off and he's accompanied by this little elf and they're talking about her. And it's like, oh, she was cute. He's like, I don't remember her.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you do. And Cicely wants to repair her sword, but the forge she went to, the blacksmithing shop she went to, said, all we really do is pour melted metal into these molds. There's no really person to use as a hammer anymore. I was like, that's odd. How do you refine the sword? Like, no matter what mold you put it into, you still got to hit it or some shit, right?
Now, if it's the mold's just going to be just for the sword, you might need to sharpen it.
Yeah, you might need
to. On a whetstone, but like, you don't have to. You're not going to fold it over. So, I mean, they're made for quick, easy to get to, which I did have a thought later on about the sword maker process, but we'll talk about that later because it's going to come up.
Yeah. I mean, those swords they make can't be durable at all. I was just thinking. But anyways, she strikes no luck there, and then she asked if anyone knows Luke, so they, being the rude people they were, they just straight up gave his address away.
Was that rude, though?
I feel like it was. Mm. How are you just going to give a man's information out?
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like they're not like she had ill intent, because she was like looking to get her sword rebuilt, and he's the only one that probably could build that sword to specifications, so.
Yeah, no, I know she didn't have ill intent, but what if she did, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I highly doubt that, since she was like a knight.
Yeah.
Knight. But she gets some of the noblest ones.
She gets to his house, and like she's trying to force him to exchange pleasantries with him and explaining why she wants that specific sword fixed. And then she was like, I also want you to have me. She said something along those lines and immediately showed her naked for like, I wouldn't even say a full second. It was like a split second, but you definitely saw her nipples and everything. Well, not everything, but you saw her nipples.
Man, still on these nips, dog.
This is just a transition of the scenes.
No, but it was something like, she said, I think it was along the lines of like, she was talking about a breast, because she was like, oh, you can look into my heart or breast or something and see that I'm.
Oh, yeah, she said, whatever. I want you to see me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, look at my breast and tell me I'm worthy or something, she, along those lines. And they were like, huh?
I don't know if she meant my breasts. Well,
she didn't. It's a breast. She didn't say breast. Like, she was saying like breasts as in like look into her heart, chest. That's what she was talking about. Like, gotcha. See her for her inside.
And the elf was like, "Ooh, you're so forward."
Yeah.
But that was the smutty moment, and then the rest of the show was pretty tame. Yeah. Then they hear like an alarm going off, and we see three wolf-looking inhumans, they call them, killing regular knights that I guess weren't good enough to even last a scene. Once one died, they were all dead. And yeah. When they show up, Cecilia's like, I'm gonna prove to you or convince you to handle my sword, just watch me. And she gets knocked down pretty easily, and Luke saves her a second time, and he kills all the Inhumans pretty easily. The two masterminds behind this were like, well, shit, but the one guy's like, oh, there's something up my sleeve, and deep down you know what it is. Well, that was him becoming, I guess, the Ice Devil we saw earlier. And Luke called it a devil contract. They made a devil's contract.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Ice Devil broke Luke's sword, and Cecilia decided she wasn't running away. She's going to defend, because that's what she's been tasked to do. It's on the honor of her family. She will defend the people of the town. Luke asked Cecilia to buy him some time while he forges a new katana, but really, she didn't need to, because everyone just watched him do it. There was no fighting involved while he was making the sword. And Elf Girl used her eyes to create a forge. And Luke stuck his hands in the forge and listed, I guess, everything that would entail to him and his forging process on making a blade. And he pulled out a katana. End of episode.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was thinking that in order to form perfect weapons like that, that might be why they just go to the poor stealing the mold method, because it might be too intensive to make the sword like that. That's what I was thinking.
You mean like, well,
like, there might be few people now that can make swords like that. Like, it's a lost art.
That's possible. Yeah, I can see that. It definitely doesn't seem like something everyone can do.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that might be the reason why they stopped that in that area. Or it might not be something that one can learn type deal. And then I think it also might come down to like having two compatible people in order to make one. Because did you notice how I think her left eye was open and like his right eye was open? So it was like mirror opposites.
Yeah, I mean, I think I noticed something else with her other eye, but I'm not sure if that's going to be a thing later on.
Yeah. So I'm like, huh. So it might not, there might just be specific people, tandem twos to do it, so.
Yeah, but now this show has my expectations being at least one smut per episode.
Yep. Yeah. It could happen. It couldn't happen. It could just be mature adult themes.
It could be, but like, How to Not Summon a Demon King or Demon Lord, whatever, had its mandatory smut moments in episodes.
Yeah, it did.
But yeah, I imagine you want to talk about Mob next, and that was So we're definitely gonna end on with Spy, I feel like.
And, yeah, we ended in with Spy.
Yeah, in all honesty, I didn't really care for this episode of Mob.
What? This one, Mob showed a whole bunch of growth.
Define growth.
Like he's growing into a person that I think before he was gung-ho and trying to make people like notice him. In a way, or like try to get his crush to get him, but now he's like, you know, I got these powers and like I am special, and I, as long as I'm doing something with my powers and helping people, that also makes me happy too. So it's like no longer like I have to do stuff for people to get impress people. He's like, now I'm just gonna do me and go on about my life and use my powers in a way that gives me enjoyment.
Yeah, but couldn't we have gotten that with a more interesting episode?
It's all backstory. It gives Mob a new light.
I know, but like, just...
This is coming from the man that where it takes 50 episodes of One Piece in order to get one point across.
What do you mean?
You could sit through one episode.
No, it was like the same thing with the first episode of The Divine Tree. Like, there was not much there. It was just like, okay. It's like we're starting off fillering, ending. I'm sure if we get to transmission 3 or 4, those episodes will be bangers. Mob's meter will probably somehow move up because they're probably going to telepathize an actual threat that Mob's gonna have to face because his friends will be in danger, blah 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 blah. But like, I don't know, man. It's just okay, UFOs, I guess.
Yeah, so I did have a thought about that too.
That it's One Piece comment was uncalled for.
I mean, you know, it's true though, because like it'd be like three episodes before.
Regardless,
trying to get what they're trying to say.
Regardless of thoughts and opinions, One Piece has the biggest original never-ending world with less than 10% filler, and it doesn't take like a whole season for them to power up. Know what I mean?
I'd rather you get your whole season. Dragon Ball Z does it right, baby.
Granted, there are some things I don't care for in One Piece, like how if one person is fighting, you're watching everyone fucking have their own gimmick fight. And like, I honestly don't really care for Usopp that much. I don't need to see Usopp run away scared and overcome his fight. I can do without that.
Yeah. But still.
But go ahead. Lead the way, Mob.
Yeah, so, Was it Karaka? She's like freaking out about the future of the Telepathy Club. And so, like, she just ended up disbanding it. I'm like, dang. So then the kids, they come ask Mob for help. And they end up going to go see the twins that was in that little prison with Ritsu before.
I remembered them, but I don't remember where I remember them from, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they were in there in that prison. We're like, oh, we're going to get the special kids and make them train for us and whatever. So that's what they were in there for. And so they're going to try to send signals into space using noise. And we get the whole what their powers do, how they can only do telepathy with like 3 miles, 3 kilometers, which is like, I want to say 2.5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I also felt like this is the part where I was like, oh, I think they're going to send a message in space and Dimple's going to be there.
I mean, they could. Yeah. You know what? I didn't even think about that. I forgot to rewatch that last episode and see Dimple go to space. I also felt like Dimple was the one narrating.
Yeah. So I also feel like, what's the word? Like, do ghosts even breathe in space? Do they have to breathe? I mean, they're dead, so I guess they don't need oxygen. I don't think ghosts need
oxygen. I don't fucking know, dude.
Yeah, so I'm like, he could be dead. Is he dead? I have no idea.
I don't know what their fucking lifeline is.
Yeah.
So I did enjoy, what's Mob's brother's name? Ryo?
Ritsu.
I did enjoy his, like, I guess I'd call it Anya moment when the twins were talking about the furthest they can communicate. It's like, I can tell them, pick some up in the grocery. I'm like, couldn't you just call him?
Yeah.
So yeah, he fucking could just call him.
Sure could. So, wouldn't it be easier? But yeah, so, they're gonna make contact with somebody. And, they're like, man, Mob sure is dependable, because he was like, yeah, oh, I'll help you. Like, no hesitation. I was like, oh, look at Mob. And they go and they start making some noise, and some guy shows up, and he's like, oh, you guys are crazy. And Takanaka says that they're making too much noise. And he's like, can y'all just stop? You're killing me. And I was like, oh. The reason why he didn't want to make any noise was because he's a telepath, I think. Yeah.
I thought it was kind of weird that he showed up out of blue.
Well, it's because he had the noise and he was like, I got to see what says to stop it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Like, I'm meaning, like you left to join the tennis team. And as far as I know, these guys are always here. So you're telling me you conveniently wanted to slack off and come into the telepathy club or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's the part that's all weird. It's like, I feel like he's a telepath.
Yeah. They were sending out the signal and it was like making his brain hurt. So he's like, I got to shut it off. And so basically that's what it was. And so he eventually tells him, stop. It's like, I'm one of the ones you're looking for. And he's like, I didn't want to use my powers. I left the club because I couldn't find anyone like me, pretty much.
I'm sorry. You know what I did find interesting about this telepath ability that twins have?
What?
That it doesn't get stronger in the sense that the message goes out further. They just get louder. That's what it seemed like. That they were just getting louder, and that's why it was getting further, because the signal was just getting louder and louder and louder due to Mob increasing it.
Well, essentially, that's what sound is. Like Epperson, like that's why you can cause avalanches by shouting a little bit. Because you're projecting the bounce back and be louder the second time it bounces back. So, yeah.
But you figure in like most animes that involve telepathy, no matter the distance, they're talking in the same tone, the same level. Like, almost like the levels you use inside your head when you're thinking to yourself.
Maybe they are. Or maybe we just think they are because this has never been broached before.
Perhaps. Yeah. But yeah, Tanikawa, or whatever the hell his name is, gives his life story.
Takanaka, yeah, we get his life story. And he was like, oh, now you want your help? And it's like, y'all never cared anyway. I did find it cool that he could, like, project his thoughts on the people and have them thinking about things. I was like, oh. He's like, do that.
Mm-hmm. Which, seeing that was fucking, like, made later on seem stupid to me.
What do you mean?
So, like, when they finally convinced the president to go to hunt UFOs with them, which we'll get to, why didn't he just use his telepathy on her right then and there to actually convince her that they're not tricking her?
That's what I thought, too. I was like, why didn't he just project it on there?
Yeah, it was just like, what the fuck are you doing? You can easily convince her.
Yeah.
And doesn't she know about Mob?
She knows about Mob's powers.
Yeah, like, wouldn't... Because Mob left the telepathy club. So wouldn't Mob being there kind of like, hint, hint, hint?
I don't know. But still. So, I did like Mob's monologue. And he's talking about what he wanted to use his power for and what made him feel better and this, that, and the other. And this is also one of my little flavors when he was like, as long as I have my powers and I help someone, maybe it'll be like enjoyment in it. And the guy's like, don't tell me how to feel. And I was like, psh, I didn't tell you how to feel. That's how I feel. And then he was like, I was like, yeah.
I like that. I did like that moment. I was like, that's funny.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so then the guy's like, oh, I'll help out if you stop the noise. And then Reagan hustles some poor sap. And Reagan also, he's an only, so he's calling up. He got shot down by his protege. And then he's like, Mob, what are you doing for the New Year's? And Mob tells him what he's doing. He's like, oh. He's like, well, I'll rent you guys a car, da, 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 da. And so Reagan, time comes around, and Reagan oversleeps, and everyone's running late and whatever, and old girl shows up after not returning any phone calls, and they're like, oh, this, that, and the other. And homeboy Takanaka shows up, and then they spear away to Reagan's car, and Reagan's out of breath. They're like, oh, we're sorry we're so late. He's like, oh, it's okay. Meanwhile, Reagan's only got there like 2 minutes before they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going UFO hunting. And so I was thinking, like, is this the part in the story where Reagan gets found out to be a fraud? Because they're with someone with telepathy.
Well, it could be, but, like, Tanaka doesn't seem like he's even attempting to use his powers. He probably has those earplugs in or some shit.
Yeah, Takanaka. I don't know. It'd be a little different change of events if that was the case. So, I'm like, huh, hopefully he gets found out, but hopefully Mob's like, that's okay. Reagan, you were trying to help people out, and even though what you did was wrong.
I feel like Mob already knows.
Mob probably does. I feel like he might just pretend at this point just not to hurt his feelings.
Yeah, I think Mob and that other guy already know.
Maybe. But you know what to say about assuming something? See.
I like said that while I was muting myself because I wanted a drink. So I think you guys caught half of that and then caught me trying to drink. What I said was make an ass out of you and me. Assume. Ass, you, me. That's the saying.
Yeah, so going to talk about that Beach Boy Riverside.
All right. I don't like the way Beach Boy Riverside ended. I'm going to say that right now and I'll tell you why. We're going to skip to the end real quick, because it really bothered me that this was the crossroads they mentioned. Episode 3, Sally and a Crossroads. Makoto and Sally have some sort of past. Makoto and Sally, you can assume, are friends.
Nah, can't assume anything.
Yeah, but Makoto means something to Sally, is what I'm trying to get at here.
Yes. something.
I don't know how much Sally means to Makoto, but Makoto means something to Sally. Why the fuck is it a conundrum, such a hard decision to choose your friend who've, or this person that you've known and been looking for and means something to you over a fucking ogre you just met and know nothing about? That bothered me.
I mean, I don't know. Sometimes you don't always pick the homie, but you know, you'll pick some random girl you just met.
Nah, man. Always pick the homie.
Oh, I'm saying always pick the homie, but I'm just saying some people, they're like, oh, they got something y'all don't got.
Yeah, that bugged me. But yeah, going to the beginning episode. Sally and a Crossroads, episode 3. We're in a coliseum. Hawthorne entered a tournament to win some cash, but they didn't feel like watching him, so they left, and I think that hurt him a little bit.
Hurt him a whole lot.
But turns out Frog was the voice of reason here. Frog was like, nah, he's not doing it for money. He wants to be stronger. Maybe a certain town getting destroyed is weighing heavy on my man's heart, and he doesn't want to lose the people he's traveling with, so he wants to be stronger. I don't know.
He's very chivalrous.
I'm just saying, Hawthorne, you probably can't take down the ogre, so Sally's your best bet.
Yeah.
But yeah, we go through that, and Sally found Makoto, and that happened faster than I thought it would. I thought Makoto was going to be like our Sasuke, and we were just going to be chasing him for an entire season.
Nah, you can't always do that.
Nah, nope. So Sally and Makoto start catching up, and all he can afford to give my girl is some water. And he's traveling with Sister Melia, who I thought was Sally in the past. I don't know why. I don't know if you thought the same thing, but
I did not.
Yeah, I, for some reason, I was like, is that Sally? I saw blonde hair and covered up. I was like, is that Sally in the past? Are we getting some backstory? No, we were not. He is traveling with an ogre. Well, probably former ogre. And she is also in the tournament, but she is purely in there for money because she eats a lot.
Sure does.
And then we go over to, what's his name? Sumeragi, who seems to be the mastermind of all the ogres, and that will come into, I'll clear that up a little bit as we go along. Sumeragi, who is greeted by some mid-ogre, that's all they call him. And the mid-ogre basically says that he failed to kill Makoto. And Sumeragi basically says, I know, I was watching the whole time. And I was like, you were? Yeah, you got frightened by just his stare and couldn't even approach him and ran away. I was like, damn.
Yeah, I was like, ooh.
honestly, I thought they were going to kill him for running away.
I did too.
I thought as soon as homegirl, whose name is Juscelino, God of Mass, said pick me up, I'm like, oh, she's gonna like behead him or something. But as soon as she shows up, Sumenki also shows up, who is just a head with a mask, and they hold I think the 642nd 100 ochre assembly, something like that.
Yes.
And after summoning all the ogres, Sumeragi is basically warning everyone that the Peach Boy is among us, and he has the strength of, she's stronger than an army, and some old dude verified it, and the thunder ogre, Todoroki, comes out. It's like, so shouldn't we be attacking him together? And Sumeragi basically says, nah, that won't work. He's also killed, he's also essentially killed Meki. He removed her eye, removed her horn, and now she has to live without her dignity and her powers. So he sends Todoroki into like a little rage. He's got like this little fragile kid body. He goes to seek Makoto as he uses some Mankey as an example for the rest of them, saying like, hey, Juscelino gave this guy a mask, and in one strike, he got his head chopped off. Which we then later realize that Sumeragi basically set up, and I think he set up this whole situation. I think he's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who sent Sumenki to destroy that village. And then, I don't know how Sumenki and Makoto crossed paths, but that's how he ended up headless. And at the end of it, Juscelino took her mask back. So Sumeragi told Juscelino he wants to find a way to coexist with the humans. And then she says she's going to support that. But the mid-ogre, in his mind, thought to himself, I don't think Sumeragi is out to benefit anyone but himself.
Yeah, but he didn't say it.
Yeah. So we go over to the village where Juscelino runs into Hawthorne. And at that moment, I'm like, oh, Hawthorne's going to die. But no, she was nice to him. And he runs into Sumeragi and like they have a moment. And Sumeragi definitely already knew who Hawthorne was, as he knows who everyone else is. So as they're fighting the tournament, we see Sally outside complaining at the noise. Sumeragi does the same thing. Makoto shows up, and Makoto reveals that Sumeragi is an ogre, a high-ranking ogre. And they both offer Sally their hand, giving her a choice to make. Either kill all ogres with Makoto, or try to unite ogres and humans with Sumeragi, which led me to my earlier rant. It's like, why would you even pick the ogre that you just met over the guy you've been looking for and chasing and care about?
Yeah, I'm like, what? Huh? It makes no sense. But so a couple of thoughts I had too was that Sumeragi looks like he could have been somewhat related to Sally, but it can't be sure, because he gave that whole backstory about how he once had a human friend that was loved by an ogre, or an ogre that loved a human and was loved in return by the human. So I'm like, huh?
You thinking that might have been him?
I'm thinking it could be him. It could have been his brother. It could have been someone he knew that was an ogre. But there's something to him.
That's possible.
So I was like, oh. Because he definitely looks similar to Sally.
Now, what if, and this is just a reach here, what if Peach Boy is created from a human and an ogre as offspring?
So that here was the other thing I had too. Did you notice that when Makoto does his like full demon form, he has two peaches in his eyes?
Yeah.
But when Sally does it,
I think it's her right eye.
Yeah, her right eye. Yeah. So I had written that down to mention last week, but I think I forgot. Or I might have mentioned it. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of all these notes sometimes.
But yeah, I think she's like I want to say she's like a hybrid. She's human with ogre strength. Could be it.
It could be. I mean, it's definitely something involving the peach eye thing.
Yeah. So I think Makoto might be. Maybe let's say he's like 3/4 ogre or something. That's why he has the two eyes, two peach eyes, and she's only half. I don't know. Who knows? We'll get more into it.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah.
All right. With all that being said, I am still enjoying the show, and I still need. They say you need 3 episodes to determine whether you're into an anime. So I'm cool with this one. The blacksmith, sacred blacksmith, the jury's still out on that one, but let's continue on to Spy X Family.
Sacred blacksmith, I think I would watch that one.
Yeah, let's just see where it goes from there. Because right now, our main character is very incompetent.
She is, but it's like one of those lovable qualities where you're like, oh, she gets an A for trying.
She didn't. She gets death for trying.
Yeah, she gets a D for death.
Yeah. Or yeah, an F for fail to live. Or a C for couldn't cut it.
Yeah. Can't give her a B, though.
Nah. Sends the wrong message.
Or a B for bye-bye. See you in hell. So, Spy Family, Season 1, Episode 19, a revenge plot against Desmond, and Mama becomes the wind. So, my man, it starts off with Glunam Pharmaceuticals will cease to exist in a month, and he's like, I don't know how I'm going to tell my son. And the son's just over here and listening, and I'm like, oh. I'm thinking, they're either getting, at this point, I was like, oh, they're merging. So I was like, he might not have his position anymore. But I was like, man, I can still get a job elsewhere, you know. Then we flash forward to the school, and my man Desmond does Desmond style, rolling sweep. And I was like, oh, look at my man.
Now, yeah. I have a question. During this episode, which I think you read the manga, so let me know if it says in the manga or this, or the anime, was there ever a time difference between that little meeting at the George's house and between that and them being in school?
I feel like it was like the next day.
Right?
Yeah.
So with everything that happened this episode, man still had at least 29 days. In school.
Yeah.
That's wild. No point ever, even if what he thought was true, was he not going to school the next day?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I want to say it was like overnight, or they made public within like a few days.
That's what I thought. I was so confused. I was just like, wait, hold on.
But you know, now I think about it, it might have been a little bit revisionist because he hired the other spy,
mm-hmm,
to change that kid's grades.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was
Yeah. He wanted, okay, all right. So I think it was a past thing. They don't explain it, but I think it was in the past because he tried to sabotage Desmond knowing this was happening. So overheard his father talking before he hired the spy.
Yeah. So I want to say it was like somewhere between like 2 weeks or something, or it could have been the full 29 days, or maybe like, no, because it's within a month.
I'm going to assume that 29 days have passed, assuming that a month was 30 days in this show. I'm going to assume 29 days have passed since he overheard that conversation. For the sake of the episode.
Yeah, that's what I would say. But yeah, I wasn't too sure, but it makes sense. Okay, so yeah, his father's business. He hates Desmond. George is sweeping with some ill intent. And he hates Desmond's father for buying out the business. And so this is when he found out he hired a spy. And my homie, he's going to plant a cigarette on Desmond. He put a cigarette on the ground and punched himself. And he's like, oh, so I tried to report it that Desmond was smoking, but he punched me and stopped me. And kid's like, oh yeah, it's craziness. I thought it was funny. The kid punched himself and spun around. And I was like, oh man, look at him. And so then the kids, his little lackey tried to stick up for him, but they're like, oh, you're friends, so it doesn't matter. And then Anya comes in and she's like,
"Now, hold on.
He didn't do it."
Hold on, because I thought that moment with the teacher was very questionable. Even his decision to ignore it after was very questionable. Because this man not only jumped to conclusions just because the other two supporting Damien were his friends. I'm like, you're his friends, I can't trust you, so you're automatically going to trust the other kid just because you know the other two support their friend. Well, no actual investigation. Or question.
Well, I would say, because sometimes that's why friends make the worst alibis.
Yes, I went to police. My friend did try to use me as an alibi one time for a fight he got in, and I was horrible. Could not. I failed at. I think he actually got suspended for a couple of days.
Well, the thing in general is like, because you need a non-biased party, or if you do have. At least if you have three people, two of which are like your friends, and someone random's like, oh, this is what happened to, there's a lot of that, then it's more believable.
Yes. And then his decision to let it go was even worse than his decision not to believe Damien's friends.
Yeah.
So I carry mean, on. You know,
yeah, Anya, she's that superpowered woman. So,
and he's like, she's got the face of something.
Yeah, so the Overwatcher, she's like, oh, she's like, she got eyes that see through all. And he's like, oh, I remember you from getting that tumultuous bolt the first day. And she's like, this girl's bad news. And it's like, this is telling me all of my 30 years of teaching is telling me this. And then so George tells his story, which Damien has nothing to do with. He's like, I didn't shut your business down. He's like, that's not me. That's my dad. And that also goes to show you how, like, kids associate certain things with certain stuff. So. And then my man, George, this is also the funny moment when he proceeds to re-dirty the park. And he's like, why? Why am I cleaning this up? I'm not going to be here anyway. And he starts throwing dirt down, and then he starts cleaning it up. And I'm like, why do this if I'm leaving? And then it turns into like a last day, see you later, hurrah. And Damien had says, I'm like, oh, he's like, I never get to taste a good juice. And Damien's like, I'll get you a juice. And then he's like, I haven't tasted the most expensive caviar. And then they get him the caviar. And essentially, he just does everything that he wanted to do. He wore a Stella someone gave him, and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, man, craziness. And
the one thing that stood out to me was the singing. The singing and Damien's dance didn't match the singing whatsoever.
Yeah.
I was like, Damien, what the fuck are you doing? Everyone else is like choir moving side to side, if that. And this man's like, nah, 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 but rocking now, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So everyone was all nice to him. And this is when George started crying. And then the musical came up. And he's like, I want to connect with everyone with songs. And everyone's all getting sad and sappy. And so, end of that, Damien offers to give him his expensive school supplies. And everyone gives him something. And Anya, she's like, Anya will give you this leaf. She found it on the side of the road.
Anya gave no fucks.
She did.
I love and I love that before that, before they started singing, he was like talking about becoming a slave in the West Dallas. And Anya's like, you'll be safe there because she's like, Papa's nice and that spy lady's nice.
Yeah, they're, and like, they're from there.
Yeah.
And I also think Anya was just fed up with George. She was like, kind of like, really? We're going to do this?
she did. As soon as Becky started singing, she was like, really?
Yeah, she patted what's his name, on George on the shoulder. And was like, really? We're going to do this? And then so, yeah. So then it happens. He leaves the school. And he had the whole story wrong. And he's like, they actually bought the company out and like saved them. So now his dad has a job, and they welcome him in with open arms. He's like, oh, you're still going to be going to school tomorrow. And George is like, huh, gone. So I was like, yeah. And so
Becky's like, he's super embarrassed to even be at school. Everyone's staring at him. And like Becky's like, you better return all that stuff. And Damon's like, you better pay for that juice. I'm like, the juice? Motherfucker, I had a big ass bowl of caviar.
Yeah.
Fuck the juice.
Yeah, so yeah, and that happens. And then we get the next little story. And they're having a little family time, and they're getting Anya ready for school, and yours, she sees something that she thinks Anya's left. And she gets this vision of Anya turning bad because she gets a spell, because the headmaster's like, oh, you forgot this. You're good next spell because you forgot. Mm-hmm. And Anya was on her little motorcycle running, driving away. I was like, oh, that's funny. And so then Yor turns into Spider-Woman. She goes running and flipping around the city to the campus to get the stuff to Anya. And it turns out Anya doesn't even have gym today. And that's the stuff she was trying to bring to her.
And I'm like, huh. I love that Anya patted her on the back.
Yeah, that was funny. And then so... yeah, so it was awful not what she did, but then she got a meal out with Lord out of it, so that's good.
Yeah, Lord, he just Lord offered her lunch to cheer her up. I'm like, she can't be depressed. It might be a risk to the mission.
Yeah, so. But yeah, he was also there looking at stuff, so. So yeah, it was a good one.
It was a good episode.
I enjoyed it.
I did as well.
Did you, though?
I did.
How did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did.
Mm. Scale to 1 to 1. How did you enjoy it?
Scale to 1 to 1, 1.
Dang. Low one or high one?
mid-high one.
Mid-tier. Mm, that's good.
You got anything you want to talk about, Irby?
Oh, I did have this one moment.
We're out of time. No, I'm gonna go ahead.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. I started watching this new anime called Radiant.
Oh, Radiant? I started that. Never the one with the gloves, right? He can't do magic without the gloves.
Well, the thing is, he could do magic. No, I'm like 10 episodes in. I don't want to tell you the stuff.
Okay, yeah, I think I was like 4 episodes in when I stopped. I'll pick it up again.
Yeah, well, the part I'm going to mention is past that.
Go ahead.
But what happens is this woman, she's like, oh, I made special tea. And guess what her secret ingredient in the tea was?
Stop. It's not piss, is it?
No. Roast beef. I was like, what the hell? Roast beef and tea?
Hey, man.
And she's like, most flavorful things have roast beef. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. Hey, and they got this little Mr. Hankey type deal going on. I'm like, oh, man.
If there's an Arby's in Japan, I think they have it.
No.
Roast beef tea. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was disgusting. Everyone was like, bleh. So.
Yeah. I got to get back into it. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I do enjoy it. It kind of reminds me of a bootleg Dragon Ball Z a little bit.
I'll get back into it.
Yeah, it's like instead of searching for Dragon Ball, he's searching for Radiant.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's only one season of it, I think. No, there's 2 seasons. Yeah, 2 seasons. It shouldn't take too long.
Yeah, I'll get back into it.
Yeah. Interesting show. I'd just be on there, just letting it watch me.
Sad to see Tokyo Revengers has ended.
I'm not.
It was. I enjoyed the journey.
Did you now?
I did. But anything else you want to discuss, Herbe?
Nah, that's pretty much it.
All right then, guys. You know what to do. Like, comment, share us, and we'll catch you next week. Hopefully, continuing our journey as the Anime Trio. Peace!
Peace.